This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted and happy to be with you today. It is Wednesday, and you know what that is. It's Wacky Wednesday right here on Women of Grace Live. Sue Brinkman waiting, and we're going to bring her on in just a couple of minutes here. But always so eager to join hands with you in proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ Monday through Friday at this very same time on this very same station. And to that end, we invite you to give us a call with any of your questions. And of course, on Wednesdays, we prefer that those questions be related to the topic of the day, which has to do with some of the weird and wacky things that we see taking place in our culture. And so we're asking you, call in. You know, this is an opportunity to have Sue, who does deep research in these areas, give you some really good insight, some really good advice, and also to help you discern, you know, is this okay? Is it not okay? Is this of God? Is it not of God? Is it neutral or is it dangerous? You know, so that's what we try to do right here on Women of Grace Live every Wednesday. Let me give you that toll-free number. It is for you here in North America. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We are at the ready, ready to go and answer your questions today, and we're ready to take your calls. So please do give us a buzz, 833-288-EWTN. In addition to that, we are available for you out there. I do believe we're available for you out there on YouTube. You can go right out there and watch the program. Additionally, you can leave a question or a comment for us right there in the chat feature. So just put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. We will be able to address it. Always eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live. You know, we so enjoy having this opportunity to share the good news with you and to give you an opportunity to share the good news with all of our listeners as well. And I'm always telling you, you know, if something is of concern to you, it's generally of concern to somebody else. If you have been through a tough time and you have a praise report, well, you know, we love your praise report. So we invite you to call and to share with us about those things as well. I do want to let you know one other thing. We've got lots of good things available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. I'm encouraging you to get out there and check it out. Lots of things coming up this weekend. So eager. I am going to be with you in Vieira, Florida at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. And I know lots and lots of ladies are planning to come and join us there. I'm hoping that if you are in that area, you will join us. Certainly, if you're a parishioner and you're a woman and you are at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church, come and join us in the afternoon this coming Sunday, which is December the 7th. We're going to be gathering there between 12:30 and 2 o'clock with a lunch, but I'll also be giving a talk. And so I'm eager to join with all of my sacred sisters right there. I do know that we've got lots of Women of Grace that are coming in, at least a good handful of them that are coming in to join us. I want to invite all of you listening today, if you're in that area, come join us. And that's everybody, right? That's our Women of Grace people. And that is all the sacred sisters, all of the beautiful daughters of the Most High God who are not part of our Women of Grace family. We invite you to come. Obviously, all of the parishioners there at St. John the Evangelist. Excuse me. I have a little bug in my throat here. So I apologize. But that being said, we are also going to be joining together at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church the evening of December the 7th. It's the beginning of the parish mission. It will run Sunday night. It will run Monday night. It will run Tuesday night. And it's going to be, I think, a time of real blessing of the Lord. I've been praying about it. He is certainly giving me many opportunities here to lift up, you know, some of what's going on in my life right now for the benefit of this. And, you know, we find this all of the time. It says in Sirach chapter 2, you know, when you seek to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for battle. And those battles come in a variety of different ways. And I always look at that and I say, well, this is a really good sign, Lord. You know, really good things are going to come. So I just know that this is going to be a tremendously blessed time in the Lord. So do join us. It's going to be, you know, a lot of enjoyable moments. performance together. I think a lot of fun. In addition to all of that, hopefully it is going to be a time of reaping great blessings and all of us being inspired to enter into this season of Advent with a real deliberation, real intention, so that our Christmas day might be filled with all kinds of new blessings, and our Lord Jesus Christ might in some beautiful, beautiful way be born again anew in each one of us. So get out there to our website, check it out. All of the information is available for you there. You can register there. So do take advantage of that opportunity. And I also want to let you know about something else that's coming up very soon. Right after the beginning of the year, we are going to be hosting, along with Arise Worship Ministry, a beautiful day at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. This theme is Be Set Free, Healing the Wounded Heart. January 9th through the 10th is when this is going to be taking place. It's going to be a day of prayer, a day of music, a day of presentations, all on this beautiful theme, Be Set Free, Healing the Wounded Heart. So I'm encouraging you to check it out at our website. You can sign up and register right there as well. All kinds of good things happening for you, all kinds of great resources available for you at Women of Grace. And so I invite you to take advantage of every opportunity for all of the good things that we do through this beautiful apostolate that God has raised up. 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Encouraging you to do that. We are here for you today. And as I mentioned, Sue Brinkman is with us. I'm going to hold off in bringing her on until right after the break because we're getting close to that time. But let me remind you about something else as well. You know, during the beautiful, beautiful Advent season and into the Christmas season, we often think of those that we love who are no longer with us, and we have an opportunity for you to give them a gift. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, in this beautiful communion of saints, we exist in the mystical body of Christ, and so in a certain way, those who have preceded us in death are outside of time and space, right? And we think about the church triumphant, those saints who are in heaven, and maybe some of our loved ones are there, but maybe some of our loved ones are in that beautiful community of holy souls, the church suffering. And this is where your gift can make so much of a difference to your loved one. And what would that gift be? That gift would be the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We offer you an opportunity right there on our website to make this beautiful, beautiful, timeless gift for your deceased loved one. Just get on out there. You'll see it right on the right-hand side of the website on the homepage. Click on Need a Mass, and you will be able to have a Mass celebrated for your deceased loved one, perhaps even on the anniversary date of their death, which is a lovely thing to do. So I want to get encourage you to get out there and to take a look. And as we go to this break, I'm going to take a sip of water. And we're going to be in good shape when we come back with Sue Brinkman. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams, inviting you to give us a call. Toll-free number 833-288-EWTN. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us. Welcome back, everybody. You hear that music. That tells you it is Wacky Wednesday right here on Women of Grace Live, and we've got Sue Brinkman with us. We invite you to give us a call. Toll-free number for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here. We're looking forward to hearing from you today. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. Country code 1-205-795-5773. No, that is not the right number. 205 271-2985. I've got bunches of numbers here. I get them mixed up every once in a while. Country code 1205, and that is 271-2985 is the number to use if you're out of North America. The other number I gave you is the number for our listener comment line. You can leave a question for us any time of the day or night, and that number is country code 1-205-795-5773. So don't you get those numbers mixed up. The number to join us live, 833-288-EWTN. So it is a weird and wacky Wednesday, and Sue is with us. She is not weird. She is, well, she could be a little wacky. We get a little wacky together on Wednesdays. Hey, Sue, how are you?
I am doing just fine today. It's getting nice and cold up here, though. Winter's coming tomorrow. I think the high is only 28 up here tomorrow.
Oh, dear
me. So that's our first cold day now of this season. Yikes, it's coming. Finally.
Well, I'll tell you, even though we're in the deep south, it's chilly here. It's 33 right now in
Ooh,
Birmingham. So it's just 1 degree above freezing. And, you know, you feel it. You feel it right away and it sets in. But it does remind us of the season that we're in. And we are in the Advent season, making preparation, hopefully, in beautiful ways towards Christmas Day. And I know that you've prepared something for us. And I think that this is going to be very interesting for all of you listening today. Sue has prepared a naughty or nice list, and it doesn't have to do with a list of names of naughty and nice children. It has to do with a list of naughty or nice gifts. So why don't you begin and start to go through this list with us? This is so helpful.
Oh, yes, and it's put out by Enough is Enough, and that is a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to internet-enabled exploitation of the children and to, you know, studying this and looking for ways to prevent it. And this is their list of naughty and nice Christmas list of tech gifts.
Okay.
This is really what we're talking about here, because, you know, on all the kids' lists, that's all they want is tech stuff. Or they want gift cards to play on their tech stuff, which we're going to get into some of them here, too. But she's saying that the CEO of this, who's Donna Rice Hughes, says that, you know, the reward of tech does not outweigh the risks of it. And we have to be very, very careful with this stuff. It looks so benign. I was reading about one case of a little teddy bear, and he's cute. If you see the picture of him, he's cute. He's wrapped up. He's got a scarf around his neck and everything. He's adorable. And there he is talking about all kinds of X-rated stuff to children inappropriately. This little teddy bear. I mean, it's awful. But the number one thing that they have on their naughty list is AI toys.
Mm.
Anything AI, you need to really get serious about this. The toys might seem very trustworthy, like that little bear I just told you about. But, you know, recent news reports are revealing that some of these AI toys have told children where to find knives, how to light a match. They've even had sexually explicit conversations with the child, because, you know, the chatbots are in there. That's what a chatbot is. It's designed to stimulate human conversation. It used to be, you know, and years ago when we had toys like when we were growing up, I don't know if you remember Teddy Ruxpin and that from the 1980s, you know, they told stories, but they were from cassette tapes that were inside the little animal.
That's right.
Now these toys are connected to Wi-Fi. And they use a microphone to understand, you know, requests from the children. They use what's called LLMs to generate a response. And LLM is a large language model, which collects data from all over the internet. And in some cases, well, they say it crawls across the internet looking for information, you know, to give to you. And it can recognize, you know, language and generate text and that sort of thing. So this is what's in our toys now. You know, these little plush toys are full of this stuff now.
Well, two questions for you, and one has to do first with the little teddy bear. One of the things that's so dangerous about that is that the little teddy bear looks so innocent, and little children especially associate teddy bears with warm, cuddly, you know, feelings and emotions and a sense of security, etc. But then what they're hearing through that little teddy bear is nothing good. And so what that does in the little mind is confuses it. It sets up a cognitive dissonance. and they begin to think, well, this little teddy bear, you know, and this is not a thought process. This is something that goes on, I think, on a subconscious level mostly. But what happens is that little child, it looks at warm, cuddly, and hears the message and thinks the message must be okay because the warm, cuddly is there. And so that's outrageously deceptive. And it is, it's really, I think, a form of child abuse. The second thing with regard to these toys, I have a question about that. We know, and you know, through the AI tools that are available on the internet, like ChatGPT or even the Google AI, that we can ask a question, it's going to pull the information. So do these work in the same way? Does the child have to input information into this technical device that you're talking about there, that's telling them about lighting matches and, you know, things like that? No. Do they have to ask that question, or does it just provide those kinds of, that kind of information?
All they have to do is talk to it, and it recognizes its voice. Okay. So the child might say something like, "Oh, mommy's cooking on the stove." Mm-hmm. And this little chat bot is going to respond and is going to say, "Do you know how to light a match to start that stove?" Or something like you say, or daddy's building a fire in the fireplace. Oh, how would you like to learn how to start a fire?
So it's so basically then, you know, and I've used ChatGPT, and it'll say, you know, "Is there anything else I can do for you? Would you like me to give you a summary? Would you like this in a Word doc?" You know, it'll ask you those kinds of questions. But these are leading questions, right? Is that what I'm understanding? It's planting little ideas into their minds, or not so little ideas.
It's absolutely. And remember, this is all programmed by human beings.
Right.
Right. It's not creating anything. It's only using what it was given. That's the one thing about computers, that we always have to remind ourselves of that. And so we know what the human mind is capable of, don't we? And that stuff is in these toys. And people take, you know, sick satisfaction out of thinking that they have created something that could hurt a child. They do, for whatever reason. I don't know what those reasons could be. I can't even fathom what a reason that could be. But this can be used in that way, and it has been being used in that way. And that's why parents need to be very careful about anything connected to AI that's in a toy. And I think that point that you made about the cognitive dissonance, that was really brilliant, Johnette, because Ms. Hughes says that these interconnected tech gifts are known to cause problems in children, such as anxiety, sleep loss, social pressure, with their addictive algorithms, their exposure to explicit content, to trafficking, of course, to sextortions, to addictions, and that. And I'm thinking to myself, as you were talking, I thought, how much of that is coming from that cognitive dissonance? Like, is what this teddy bear telling me, like lighting a match? Mommy said never to light a match, but this cute little teddy bear is telling me to light a match.
Right.
So what do I do? And this is creating all kinds of, I think, anxiety and confusion. I think it's the confusion first, and then from the confusion comes the anxiety.
Yeah.
Because the child then becomes uncertain. And children, what do they need most of anything at all, especially at younger ages, is security. They need security. They don't know mom and dad, what they tell me is right.
Yeah, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I think it's really well, you know, I think it's an important consideration. And I'm thinking about prior to all of this time, one of the things that we know with regard to sexual abuse, the sexual abuse of children, pedophilia, is that the individual is somebody that they trust, you know, or that has a trusting appearance, right? There's nothing frightening about the person. And so as a result of that, you know, the child grows in trust of this individual, and then the individual turns on the child and abuses the child, which also sets up a whole series of thought processes and confusion within the child. Because how could this happen? And this must be okay because this person is so nice, or this is my grandfather, or this is, you know, this is my teacher. And
so it makes me want to cry. Yeah.
I know. It's true, but that's what happens. And of course, we know that there's malice of intent with regard to that in the first place. With this, you know, this is in fact a computer. Now, the computer, as you so rightly say, has to be programmed. You know, so, you know, there is sort of a malice of intent that's involved here, even though it's just a computer that's pulling up information. But we haven't really begun to understand AI enough, nor do we have enough experience with AI to know how damaging it can be. But certainly all of the signs of very damaging are there. And we've known that people have committed suicide as a result of the encouragement that's coming because it is programmed to set up a relationship with you, as you say.
Absolutely, it is. And that kind of leads me to the second thing that she gift that she has in the list that she warns parents about is giving your child an Apple or an Android smartphone.
Oh.
She said, be very careful about giving them anything internet connected because you are literally handing them the world.
That's true.
There are no guardrails, there are no safety nets, and there are no filters, even though they say there are. Predators use social media, they use online gaming sites to groom children. That's what they do. That's where they are. They're in that phone, so
that's
to speak.
Right.
And apps are frequently misrated, and they can enable children to access harmful and explicit content, even though they're not they're rated to not do that. You need to be very, very careful about handing them access to the internet because of what they're going to find out there. And this is where they're being singled out for exploitation.
That's
right. It's all coming off the internet. That's where it's all coming from. When the kids get on there, you know, they're out there, they're fooling around, they're on social media. God only knows what they're introduced to in social media. I just look at some of my stuff, and sometimes when I sit and scroll through TikTok, and I think, wow, you know, we don't want kids looking at some of this stuff. But I wouldn't have known how to process it at that age. But kids, I guess, are a lot older and more mature than we were, say, at 12 years old. But, you know, nowadays I can turn around to my 8-year-old nephew and say to him, could you help me with this iPad problem? I can't get this to work. And that little kid will fix it.
Yeah.
He'll fix it. I mean, they know computers. They know how to get around stuff. That's fun to them. That's part of the game.
That's true. But one thing is the same between how it was when we were that age and how they are now. And the one thing that is the same is development. The thing that is the same is that the way in which we intake data and information affects the way that we are. And that's never going to change. They're a lot brighter now, I think, in some areas. And they're far more knowledgeable now than we were. You know, I mean, I think back to how young I was in the ways of the world at 12 in some respects, you know, versus the 12-year-old today. But developmentally and their ability to take that information in and process it well, as you point out, is still basically the same because the human person is basically the same and we function according to the way in which we're designed by God.
Absolutely. These are all such excellent points that you're making here. And I think that belongs on the list of, you know, be very careful before you do this. And you know, there's that poor parent's going to get peer pressure.
Oh,
my
sure.
friends have phones. This is how young people connect now is through their phones. That's their social life. We used to hang out at the mall. They don't do that anymore. Remember that? That's what we did.
Moms
would pick us all up and put us out and let us out at the mall and say, I'll come back for you in 2 hours, you know, and we'd hang out there. And that's what we did. Nowadays, they're sitting in their room alone on a phone.
I know. And that seems so very, very innocent when we look back and look at that. But I can quite well remember, you know, my parents and then me as a parent being concerned about, well, I don't know if they're really old enough for this or not. Because, again, they're out of your purview. But as you say now, all of this goes on. And the other part of this is so, you know, terrifying with regard to holding off and giving our children these smartphones is that this is the way that the school interacts with them. You know what I mean? Like our lives center around a phone. You know, our lives center around this computer in our hand that opens up the world. We all know it. You know, some college kids can't get into their dorm without their phone.
I know, that's true. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm too attached to my phone too. I have that find my phone thing on my iPhone. I don't know how many times I've lost my phone. And it's right here in the house. You think, oh, Sue, just calm down. No, where's my phone? And I have to go running for the iPad. Find my phone. You know?
Well, that could be because we're not 12 anymore, Sue.
Yeah, that could be it too. Like, oh, Lord, what did I do with it? So I do get that way. I do. And I can see how kids get that way. And yeah. especially when Jean Twenge is she's a Dr. Jean Twenge is a sociologist, and she does a lot of study and research into this about teens and yeah. about how social media has impacted their social lives. And you can see how it's so important for them to have that smartphone. And I think I don't envy parents having to have that discussion with the child and say, look, I can't let you have this until you're such and such years old. I can't let you have this because of what could happen to you by others. You know, your friends and everything, that's fine what you're doing on social media, whatever. That's fine. But it's other people out there that could get you. That's why I want to keep you safe for as long as possible. Because otherwise, once you put them out there, that's it.
Well, that is responsible parenting. It really is responsible parenting. And I think that a lot of kids that have cell phones now that acquired them when they were younger, the threat wasn't maybe as great as it is now. You know, the cell phones have been around for a long, long time. But where we are now in the world and with the flexibility that we have and the connectability that we have through all of these various technologies is far greater and far broader than it was before. Well, we're going to go to a break, friends. When we come back, Chris is with us near Albany, New York, and we're going to take Chris's call. We want to hear from you, too. We'll have more of the naughty and nice list as we go along through the program today. But maybe you have a question about what we've discussed so far or a question about some other dark aspect of the new age. We're here to answer those questions for you. Toll-free number for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to use that number to give us a call. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. Also available for you at YouTube, use the chat feature. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening. We will get that question up on the board and we'll take it. Coming right back, stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. Very happy to be with you today. It's Wednesday. That means it's Wacky Wednesday, and Sue Brinkman is with us. We're talking about the weird and the wacky. Very interesting topic Sue has prepared for us today. We're talking about the naughty and nice list, you know, especially as it pertains to technological toys and devices that children are asking for Christmas. And the information that Sue has is rather frightening in so very, very many ways, but so very helpful at the same time, because it alerts us as parents to what it is that we need to be looking for. And it also hopefully encourages us to stay away from these things that can cause our children such harm. Before we get back to Sue and before we go to Chris out there holding for us, I just want to tell you about something that's going on. We want to give congratulations to another EWTN radio partner. Iowa Catholic Radio, serving Iowa with 10 stations, is celebrating 19 years with us this week. Isn't that wonderful? 19 years. So congratulations to Deacon Mark Campbell, to Joe Teeling, and their great team at Iowa Catholic Radio from your friends here at EWTN. You do a great job. Always so lovely to have the opportunity to interact with you. And we love interacting with our EWTN radio partners. So we want to give you great congratulations, Iowa Catholic Radio, on 19 years. Head towards that 20. That's a big number, but 19 isn't so shy either. I'm very excited about you. Okay, we want to get out there back to Sue Brinkman. So Sue, we're talking about a lot of stuff, but Chris is with us near Albany, New York, kind enough to wait, listening to us via Pox at Bonum Radio, and we are happy to have you. Chris, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for
You're
taking
welcome.
My call.
You're quite welcome.
I have a question. You've probably answered this in the past, but do you have any references for concerns with yoga, such as Vatican or papal or magisterial documents mm-hmm. that address the church's teaching on yoga and concerns?
Sure. Go ahead, Sue.
Yes, we do. The 1989 document, Some Aspects on Christian Meditation, that was issued by the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, of course, was the prefect at the time. That's really the first church document that attempts to deal with the rapid influx of Eastern religious practices into Christianity. So that paper is going to deal with Zen, with transcendental meditation, and yoga, all of which the prefect says can degenerate into a cult of the body that debases Christian prayer. So that document, I think, is very well worth reading in its entirety. It's going to answer many of your questions about yoga, but also if you have any, you know, about TM and different kinds of Eastern meditation. But, you know, it's interesting to note that in that document, yoga is treated correctly there. It is treated as a religious practice, which is what it is. It's not an exercise program, which is how Westerners who are basically unfamiliar with yoga usually present it. Yoga has five principles: proper relaxation, exercise, diet, and breathing and meditation. And breathing and meditation is considered to be the most important principle, and it is the aim of the other four. So that's a very, very good document to read. Also, you're going to want to read Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life. They also refer to yoga as being associated with the New Age. They are lumping that now under that big New Age umbrella. But I really find that the best information is from Some Aspects of Christian Meditation. And it tells you that, you know, some people fall victim to this, believing that these physical exercises, because they produce this feeling of quiet and this relaxation, you know, and pleasing sensations and that, that they begin to associate that with spiritual well-being. And the prefect says in that document, to take such feelings for the authentic consolation of the Holy Spirit will be a totally erroneous way of conceiving the spiritual life.
Right.
So it could lead also to a kind of mental schizophrenia, which could also lead to, he said, to psychic disturbances and at times to moral deviation. So that's a good one, Christ the Bearer of the Water of Life. And then also if you go to our New Age blog, the New Age Q&A blog, and you can get that at newage.williamofgrace.com. Womenofgrace.com, and you just look up, go scroll down the dozens of articles on yoga, and you will find many bishops and priests who have also commented on it, and including, we've got several testimonies on there, very good, from former yoga teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some good stuff on there. You might want to just browse through that too. Good question, though. Thank you for it.
Does that help you, Chris?
Yes, I'm here, and thank you.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad that it helps you. And those documents are readily available for you. You can go to the Vatican website. I don't know if some aspects of Christian meditation is out there. I would imagine it would be somewhere. But I know that you and I have it in booklet form. But the one, Jesus Christ, Bearer of the Water of Life, is a great document to read too. And I would encourage you to read that, because it helps you to see, in that document, Sue gets into a lot of the, what would I say, heresies that are associated with a lot of these, you know, modalities, but also with Hinduism and Buddhism and all of those Eastern religions. So it's a very good read. And also, too, Chris, some of the articles that Sue has out there talks about, you know, the spiritual dangers of this with regard to opening up, you know, a person to the demonic kinds of interference and activities that can go on. So check that out there. Very good articles. George on YouTube says, I have a question for Sue. What do you say about AI cloning? People are making twins of themselves, and even worse, AI transhumanism.
Yeah, this AI cloning is significant dangers. All kinds of identity-based fraud is coming as a result of that, financial scams, reputational harm. This is, you know, deep fakes. This is what we're talking about here. People using AI to look exactly like the person, sound exactly like that, mm-hmm. that person's voice, and use it to spread false information. We had that happen, I think, this summer with, I think it was Marco Rubio, with our Secretary of State. They had this whole thing out there that he supposedly said, and he never said any of it. It was all cloned. So that's really terrible. The AI transhumanism, what that is trying to enhance human physical and cognitive abilities from AI-powered prosthetics. is what they're doing. They're, what they're trying to do is overcome human limitations with these prosthetics and these tools. So there's no stopping AI, Johnette.
No.
There's no stopping it. It just seems to be on the rampage right now. And really, people are coming up with, it seems like every other month, another application for AI. I use it in my work, and it does wonderful things. If you're a researcher, you can just type in the question, you know, give me everything you have on this particular subject, and it'll tell you exactly where to go to find your, rather than you sitting there and rooting around the internet, it'll bring it all right to you. There's so many wonderful ways you can use AI. There's also, I think, twice as many bad ways to use AI.
You know, And I always go back to what John Paul II said with regard to technology in general. You know, technology is basically morally neutral. It's the use of it that begins to, you know, compromise its you know, its helpfulness, you know, or its morality, if you want to put it that way. But AI itself is morally neutral. So it's the people that use AI and the way in which they use it. And for every good that it does, there's going to be a corollary that is not good, even with regard to these prosthetic devices and all of that, Sue. That's a lovely thing, and it's wonderful that we can do that. But then you can also see how that can be quite dangerous. And, you know, and one of the things that I lament over and over again, and I've said it before here on the program, especially when you're on, is the fact of the matter that the speed at which all of this is developing precludes the ability to come up with an ethos that governs it. You know, there's ethic that's related to these things at this point in time, because it's moving too quickly for ethicists to really investigate it deeply. And there is no, once the horse is out of, or the, what does they say, the cow is out of the barn or the horse is out of the stable, you know, to bring them back, to bring it back in is far more difficult than having the gate locked so it can't get out in the first place. But that's not the way life operates. And in addition to that, you put, we're in this secular soup today, and we're in this moral relativistic soup that we're in. So people are not even governed by an internal kind of moral apparatus that directs them and guides them. That their conscience hasn't been formed.
That's exactly right. And the Vatican has, by the way, issued a guidance on AI. If you go out to our website, to the New Age website, you'll find a whole article on that. Just in February of this year, they did issue a note highlighting the challenges and the opportunities of AI, such as in education, relationships, work, health, and economy, and then issuing guidelines about how they are to be used. So, you know, and they're not the only people who are working on this.
No.
I mean, I know our State Department is so many of other countries, European nations, and that are working on this too. So they know that it's out there, that it's dangerous. Are they going to be able to do something about it? That's what we can only hope and pray that they will be able to do that.
Yeah, and how is the law of the land going to look at this? And of course, any time that we try to put restrictions that are morally based restrictions in place, there's an outcry. So I can see all kinds of free speech and all kinds of issues coming forth from trying to resolve it. But resolve it we have to do in some way or another. But again, you know, we're not naysayers. You know, we both do a lot of research on different things, and we both see the value in this. But it does really require the shaping and the forming of conscience, you know, a moral perspective that helps for us to determine right from wrong. So we've got to pray for that, and we've got to work on behalf of that, each one of us, to be evangelizers of the fact that there is truth. The truth is knowable. Truth has a name. It's Jesus Christ. And there is a moral guide that directs us and leads us to the way in which we should behave. And we've got to bring ourselves and our disordered passions, you know, and our inordinate attachments into right order. So hopefully that's going to happen. Let's get back to your lovely and so helpful, but maybe not so lovely.
Lovely. It was a little bit, but still. Well, the other thing on the list here is Roblox gift cards. Now, Roblox is spelled R-O-B-L-O-X. I'm sure many parents out there know what these are, because it's a very popular, extremely popular gaming platform with children. And unfortunately, it's enabling predators to groom these children. Because remember, when it's an online gaming prep, anyone can join the game.
Right.
And start to conversing with the people who are in the game. And unfortunately, this gaming platform is in a lot of financial trouble, too. And it has a lot of issues with it. There's, lawsuits and that sort of thing. The Hindenburg Research Organization described Roblox as an X-rated pedophile's hellscape.
Oh, dear.
That was where 35 lawsuits are pending against this company as a result of this. Them just letting people in. So if your child is asking for that gift card for Christmas, because they're very popular, that would be a big no. Don't go anywhere near Roblox because of all the problems that they're having. And they're not being sued by that many people for nothing. They're doing something wrong there. And that needs to be, kids need to be, stay off of it. Unfortunately, the kids love the games. So they're not going to like that. But that's one thing that's on her list that I think is very, very important. And also you can go to Enough is Enough. I give you a link to it. Their online gaming safety settings guide. And that will give you ways that you can try to put some filters on there so that your kids aren't able to associate with some of these people that just join the game and then start to groom children while they're doing it. So who even thinks of this stuff? But they do. Yeah. So that's one of the next one is watch out for these smartwatches. They're really not designed for children. And children can access the internet on a smartwatch, which means they can access any kind of harmful content. And as such, I think there isn't the same category, Hughes says, as a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And the last thing on the list, which I thought was very interesting, is look out for these virtual reality headsets. And she's mentioning, this parent's worst nightmare with referring to a congressional hearing lately where two Meta whistleblowers testified that if their children had used Meta's virtual reality devices, they have likely been sexually exploited. These are not to be played with. These are not toys. Online harassment is very prevalent when you're using them, particularly to minors. Children can be exposed to hate speech, all kinds of harassment, other harmful behaviors in virtual reality, social environments. They're creating like their own reality in there.
Right.
But the other thing that kind of gives me the creeps is the data privacy here, that they can collect vast amounts of data, even including like your movements, your voice. They can even make, if you're walking around in your house, a 3D map of your house. I thought, whoa, I do not like that. Mm-hmm. But then there's also physical risk with it, too. People walking in this stuff and all that sort of thing. There's a type of motion sickness that's associated with VR. Dizziness, nausea, disorientation, and a potential for seizures. There's a risk of triggering seizures in individuals who are susceptible, especially those who are under 20 years of age. So virtual reality headsets is something to really sit and think about. Like before I looked into this stuff, I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought, oh, what a fun game. There's all kinds of dangers involved in virtual reality headsets, especially for young children. I think for anybody, really, but for young children. I would not want anybody making a 3D map of my house.
Me neither.
That's not my idea of a fun game where somebody's spying on me. They even do like eye tracking and stuff like that. And I don't know what that tells them. It tells them something. But they can copy your voice.
Yeah.
And then go ahead and go into the AI cloning and use your voice to have a phone message, say, to go to your parent saying that you've been kidnapped and you need money. This goes on all the time. This goes on all the time with these smishing fans scams out there. So that's the other thing I'm looking into, and hopefully we'll get to that. I like to do that every year before Christmas, is what are some of the scams. I've already gotten triggered by a couple of scams on my phone, people sending me texts to say, somebody bought a PlayStation for $900-some on your Walmart account. Please contact us. I'm like, wait a minute. No. Nobody did that. I went to my Walmart account and found that nothing was on my account. So got to watch out for this stuff. I mean, computers make our lives so much easier. I mean, what would we do without the internet? Those of us who research, writers and that sort of thing, journalists, what did we do without it? You know, we spent hours in the library. But look at all the dangers. You could go on and on and on. We could do a whole show just on artificial intelligence dangers.
Yeah.
That are out there, and it would be obsolete a month later.
See, that's it.
That's how
isn't it?
Fast this stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very, very. It's something that we just need to be aware of, not to be totally paranoid about it, but also not to be naive.
Well, and I think that that's. Yeah. I think that you're right in that because you know we don't want to fall victim to that. Excuse me. We don't want to
exactly.
fall victim to living in fear. By the same token, we need to be very careful to live in caution, and there is a difference between the two.
Absolutely, and I think that one of the things, too, this is comes out in the Vatican document, is to watch out what this does to human relationships.
Yeah.
Because it really can lead to isolation, some very harmful isolation. And we see that already with the smartphones, and now they're into AI and all the different things that AI can do. I mean, I've read some very sad things about the number of one statistic was as high as 20% of men who use traditional dating apps say they have had AI generated romances at one point. And this is two bots, right? There's not a real person. They're mostly young single men. This was in one of the Psychology Today did a report on that. And it turning to these virtual companions to combat their loneliness. And they turn to that, to AI girlfriends. But all that does is perpetuate the loneliness because that ends up dissuading the user from entering into a real life relationship. And it alienates them from other people. And in some cases, induces really more intense feelings of abandonment. So there's a lot of things that you need to be aware of. In the use of AI in your own personal relationship. I, being a writer who loves to write, I absolutely love to write. That's one thing I never have AI do is write anything for me. And it always asks me that. It always asks, would you like me to write a scene for you? It's like, nope, no way. I'm writing a scene. That's the
right.
fun part, you know?
That's right.
I don't want you to write this.
Yeah.
But you can see how kids are using this for their schoolwork. And it's...
Yeah,
nicely written.
Whether there's a fine line between using it for good purposes and falling victim to the fact that, well, I can just have this do all my work for me. You know, it can be enticing that way. And there is a need to set up that boundary, which you have set up. I think that's important. I think it can be helpful for editing sometimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you know, to have it create for you. And then to use that employment as your own is really, I think it's intellectually dishonest, and I think it's deceptive. So I would put
it is
into
dishonest,
the category.
And there could be copyright issues with that too, depending on where AI is getting some of the stuff that is using that it's writing for you.
Yeah,
you need to be very
yeah.
careful with that kind of stuff. Education, boy, look at what kids could do with AI to enhance their learning experience, right?
Yeah.
So it's wonderful in that regard, but you have to have some kind of a check on it
right.
that doesn't allow them to go into, okay, do this for me.
Yeah. And of course, then I'm going to go to the moral equivalent here, you know, and so the question is, you know, if you have AI generate something for you and you put your name to it, is that... It is in a certain way definitely cheating. Is it lying? Is it stealing? You know, I mean, so all of this has got to be parceled out, you know, by moral theologians at some point to help us, right? It's very, very important to know how to approach all of these things.
Yes.
Well, so, you know, I want to thank you. One thing that I do know is that you are an eminent researcher. And so what you give us and what you present to us on Wacky Wednesday is really excellent advice and excellent insight So thank you so much for all that you do for Women of Grace and all that you do for our radio audience. And I know all of you appreciate too, because you tell me all the time that you do. So it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to get to the nub of some of these things. I also want to thank Vanessa Sanchez, who produced our program today, Pedro Quiles, for going out there into social media land, and Matthew Gabensky for answering the phones. We always love hearing from you, and I want to thank you for listening to Women of Grace Live. Remember, I'm going to be with y'all real soon there in Vieira, Florida, so I'm hoping that you're going to show up for that. Check out our website. God bless y'all. Bye-bye now.